This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
So thank you for joining us. However you're watching, another news review, Saturday 23rd of October, and you'll have 50 minutes of two Northern Irish guys chatting and sharing the news. David Vance, of course, at David Vance. Apart from, tell us why this is, David, apart from on Rumble where you're at D Vance one.
Because of my peculiar inability to set things up properly, and I just decided to keep it anyway. So it's D Vance one, yeah. Over on Rumble. Actually, very impressive to see you on so many platforms, Peter. Hearts of Oak broadcasting across the world, all these different platforms. And I see we're on YouTube as well. So I need to behave myself then, Peter, because reasons. I did a YouTube live myself earlier today. And don't worry, I'm YouTube friendly.
That was my next comment, David. Keep it YouTube clean, please.
Yeah. Hey, I love vaccines. I love climate change, YouTube. So please be kind to Peter and Hearts of Oak. All right, there you go. I've done my piece. Can't do any more than that.
And we're not going to do a Let's Go Brendan rap because that is not accepted either on YouTube. So
no, but we are doing a hashtag purebloods rap instead at the end of this. I just haven't told you about it yet. But yeah, no problem about it.
I see Truth Junkie has just put up hashtag purebloods. So she got there just before you. David, I was noticing your great views on Rumble on your Hard Truth podcasts.
Yeah, it's really taken off. It's amazing. Over the past 5 Rumble Hard Truth podcasts, we've had about 12,000 views. I think Rumble is a very American platform, Peter, and I share that particular podcast with my friend Alana Mercer. And I suspect it's the American audience tuning in, perhaps. I don't know what your experience of Rumble is, but Rumble's doing really, really well. But having said that, so is BitChute is also doing well. So we live in this age, don't we, where, you know, the big Silicon Valley giants, there's lots of new competition, like the ones you mentioned in your intro, Peter, like Odyssey, like Rumble, like BitChute, like Gab and Getter, I think, will be doing live streaming soon. So, and I love to see that. I love diversity.
Yep.
Real diversity.
Absolutely. We will bring you proper diversity.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start with a little bit of dark humor. Let me just bring up, and I have had a good chuckle going through some of the memes that you had put up on your Getter profile.
Yeah, it's been a meme week for me, Peter. I've decided I'm not gonna write anything. I'm just gonna stick up memes. Memes work. So yeah, well, bring them up. Bring on the memes. Can I just thank Bradley, by the way? Thanks, Bradley, for putting up the reference to Getter, because that's going to be a booming platform, I think, Peter. Don't know about you, but it's looking good.
It will be. Looking forward to the live streaming starting, and Jason Miller, the CEO, gave that video a few days ago, or it might have been a day ago, saying it is coming. So it is coming. Another platform to add. And I think from, David, from your point to my point, we are producing content and happy to put our eggs in all different baskets, and may they all succeed, basically.
I do. Absolutely. You know, I do think that social, the whole kind of, you know, video streaming and social media, it's kind of splintering into lots of different elements.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's really bad to have all your eggs in a particular basket, I think. So, So I wish Jason well, Peter, on Getter. But I also wish, you know, the guys in Gab well. I wish all the guys behind these other new platforms all the very best, because we need each other.
And looking forward to Trump Truth as well.
And Trump Truth, yeah. That's going to be another cracker. So 2022's looking good.
Well, let's bring up a few memes. Alec Baldwin. Yeah. This is, of course, taking Stephen Crowder's Sit Down, Change My Mind. I've killed more people than all January 6th protesters change my mind. It's a great one. Let me just bring up a couple of them, and then we'll maybe touch on it, although I don't know what really there is to say on it, but we will touch on it. Let me bring up another one. Let me see which one. This one. One of Alec Baldwin's quotes. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yep.
He didn't miss this one.
He didn't.
Let's bring that out. And the next one is... I get to see it first. I'm telling you, it's Trump's fault.
Orange man, bad. Oh, you know, the thing is, you know, a meme's worth a thousand words. A meme is worth a thousand words. You say there's not much to say, and there's not. And obviously we have to feel very, good sympathy for the family of the lady who was shot dead. We have to remember that. And indeed, I think the director of the movie, or one of the directors, was injured as well. So there is that. There's a serious side to it. But it's Alec Baldwin. And that's why over social media, the memes have been rich and spicy, and deservedly so. Baldwin suffers from, as you know, intense Trump derangement syndrome. Intense, like almost on another level. And so all his hateful tweets, which he's pumped out over the year, have come back to bite him big time. And, for me, the thing is that, the media obviously wanting to sanitize it. They're actually trying to paint him as the victim, Peter. He's not dead. He's not lying in a coffin tonight. But he's a victim, Alex, because, somebody substituted real. I mean, we don't know what the circumstances are. And I presume it was an accident. I presume that. But having said that, accidents have consequences too. Does it not matter if you're Alec Baldwin? And those on that side. I mean, he has been to the fore in the last 5 or 6 years, especially over Trump. There's a certain. I mean, that's why the memes work. The memes work because we all get it. You know, the Steven Crowder meme. You know, the mentioning that date, which we can never mention on YouTube. That date in January. There's not much more to say beyond the fact. I hope justice is done. And I think, a lot of questions need to be asked, because one thing, just last thing on this one, like in a normal scenario, he shot the cinematographer. He didn't shoot another cast member. So I don't understand how he was aiming at someone who wasn't a member of the cast. Indeed, nor was a director. So either he's a really, really bad shot, or I don't know what was happening. I don't know what was happening. But we'll find. Time will tell. But I suspect in the meantime there will be even more memes going out. And I have to say, I can't. I find them irresistible at the moment, because he deserves all he gets. Karma, baby, Alec. Karma.
Exactly. And here's one which isn't really a meme, but is actually his own words to Republican Liz Cheney. She's not really a Republican anymore. She's gone to the dark side. Talks and seems so much like her father. I wonder if she's ever accidentally shot a good friend of hers in the face. 2 years ago.
Amazing, Peter. Absolutely amazing.
So we'll leave that to the side. And as you said, it is dark humor, because someone has lost their lives. Yeah. But I think in a lot of stories that we discuss, they are dark, and you have to use humor to approach it, or else it would drive you mad. So
great. 100%. Yeah. Humor is a great release valve as well, actually, I might say. So on pretty much all circumstances, topics, I find humor is good because it releases tensions and stuff.
Here is a debate, and I watched this was this week in the House of Lords. A private member's bill has been introduced, and it is one of many attempts to bring in assisted dying or assisted suicide. It's been called different things, And here is from the National Catholic Register. Always good to see what others say about what's happening here. So English-assisted suicide bill not put to vote in House of Lords. More than 60 peers spoke against the bill during the debate. And it goes, after 7 hours of debate, I didn't all watch all 7 hours. I watched Lord Pearson in the middle of it. I didn't get to watch all 137 speakers, I think, at 3 minutes each. But after 7 hours of debate and notable opposition in the House of Lords on Friday, the sponsor of a bill that would legalise assisted suicide in England and Wales chose not to take the bill to a vote. So I think that still means it is passed through, but probably will not continue over to the Commons. So, yeah, I know, David, I saw a piece up on alt news media, death penalty for the modern world, execution is a compassionate action. That was by Nick Buckley, MBE.
Yep.
So if people want to, again, go, they can go altnewsmedia.net and they can find more stories there. But, yeah, David, you're... thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, isn't it interesting? Actually, can I ask you a question? What was Lord Pearson's take on it, Peter?
That is an interesting, because he hasn't changed his mind, and his position is that an individual should have the right to end their life. And he actually made the point that, which probably is correct, that of all the speakers he's seen, and I mean, he's spoken about this maybe three times before in the Lords, whenever legislation has come up, always held the same position. And he's made the comment that his interest in those with a religious background, by and large, 90-odd% oppose this, and those with a non-religious background support it. And he has pointed out it's interesting seeing the difference, the split in that. But he is for it. We've had discussions and disagreements, but he's held his view as that for many, many years, and it's up there on record. So that was his view as he spoke on Friday, yesterday evening, at around 4:35 o'clock, his lock him up.
I mean, it's a complex matter, Peter. It's a really complex topic, and I can respect people both sides of the arguments.
Yeah.
My general stance is that I oppose it. I oppose assisted suicide. I think as Elaine has just said in the chat, Peter, I mean, have a chat with Matt Hancock about potentially assisted suicide last March and April in her care homes. Mm. I can fully understand also circumstances of if a loved one, if you see them in such pain and... Yeah. You know, they're lingering and lingering and lingering. I can understand it, but I cannot go with it. I'll give you a personal angle in this. But my mother, her last years, she had Alzheimer's and got worse and worse and worse and worse. And towards the last maybe 3 or 4 years, I mean, she was just wasting away, and the person seemed to be gone. And you would sort of think, well, is there a temptation there to say, well, if she could just have a little tablet and that would end her suffering? But I can't, and I just can't, I think it possibly is just to do with the fact of, yes, having a Christian background, it's very, very hard to go with it. But I don't mean to disrespect Lord Pearson or indeed anybody else who may be watching this, Peter, who may think differently to me. It's just that I worry about thin end of the wedge as well. You know, I worry about that. And there are those complex issues behind this one. So I just think we have to be very careful. So I was happy enough that it didn't get any further.
I think I'm same as you did. I think also it comes from my Christian faith to say that all life is valuable. All life has intrinsic value. We are all equal. And I am against the ending of life, whether it's at the beginning, whether it's in the middle for those who are depressed, disabled, ill, or whether it's the end of life. And as a society, we have to be able to give people the best amount of care, whatever their situation is, and give people the best quality of life. And sometimes that obviously is extremely difficult if it is a very difficult physical illness that someone has. But I don't think that it is any of our right or position to take someone's life. So,
I mean, but fundamentally, I think God will decide the moment when we go. But if that involves, you know, pain and distress around the family, I get all that. I do understand that, but I still think I still think, to go back to first principles, that, yeah, we shouldn't take life, you know, basically in any circumstances. So, yeah. But, I mean, obviously, Peter, this is a discussion in the UK, but, I mean, there's other parts around the European Union, for example, where this is, it's deemed fine. And the, you know, we have the our friends in Switzerland who have been making loads of money out of it. So, yeah, but my own view is the same as you. We have the same view in this one. And, yeah, I can respect Lord Pearson not changing his mind, but I'm not going to change my mind either. Some things are immutable truths. And an immutable truth is that the right to life should be sacrosanct, I think.
And it's a thin end of the wedge in Belgium that you can, a child, a 14-year-old can go and say they're very depressed, they want to end their life. And they're allowed to do that in Belgium. That's my understanding. It's not that you must be a certain age and have an illness that you will die off within a certain time. There are no protections around it. It's just, if you want to end your life, you can. If you're a 14-year-old having a bad day, you can kill yourself. Screwed up a society. And that is what can we see legislation coming in well-intentioned and then ending up being used for a very different purpose.
Well, this is what I fear, because we know that, you know, a lot of people suffer from mental depression. And actually, the last 18 months has further accentuated that. So we know it's a real issue. And a lot of them could be young people, teenagers, probably particularly susceptible to that. Well, if you put into law this concept, that this precedent that life can, you know, assisted murder, I would call it, then you know, things are, it's bad, it's wrong. And so I honestly think, by the way, Peter, you know that old aphorism, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. This is a particular hell, and I can see the paving stones, and I don't think we want to be putting any further of them down.
Exactly. Can I say to WK White Knight, I may agree with all your comments, but I cannot put those up and let the others on YouTube see it. So whenever we have a non-YouTube, by all means, I'll bring up your comments, but I couldn't possibly even repeat them. So, yeah, that's enough of that, WK White Knight. And let's move on to the Chinese and what is happening. Here we have this interesting event that seemed to shock America, and obviously they weren't ready for it, as America doesn't seem to be ready for anything that happens in the world. Joe Biden doesn't seem to be ready for the next sentence that he has to give. But here we have U.S. hypersonic missile test marred by rocket failure. And this ties up two stories together. The announcement comes a week after reports of China sending a hypersonic missile around the globe. So the Pentagon's hypersonic weapons program suffered a setback on Thursday when a booster rocket carrying a hypersonic weapon failed, people briefed on the test result. The test was intended to validate aspects of one of the Pentagon's hypersonic glide vehicles in development, two of the people said. And of course, it compares to China that sent one all around the world and back again. And America were utterly shocked. So they say, well, we've got ours. Oh, doesn't work. So
yeah.
We'll go on to America's response, their generals. But just on this, it seems to be that we are seeing a change of the guard in who actually is running world affairs militarily from the one superpower in the States over to China, which is rapidly taking on that mantle.
Well, and just on the particular issue of hypersonic missiles, it's clear that China has gotten itself into the dominant position. And, you know, for quite a while now, I've believed, Peter, that there's been a world war fought, but nobody knew it. People missed it. The world war was fought by China against the rest, and it was done by economic means and cultural means and, you know, a whole panoply of, it didn't involve any warfare. Well, up until this point anyway. But China, in my opinion, is an existential threat The Chinese Communist Party is an existential threat to the rest of the world. And they're not afraid to, you know, since Biden came in, I mean, just like even North Korea is not bothered. Nobody's scared of the U.S. anymore. They were scared under Trump, Peter, because they knew that Trump would respond to this.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll talk about the American generals in a second. But I mean, I also noticed that the Chinese didn't give the American a heads up that they were testing the hypersonic missiles, even though we now know that General Miley in the stateside was giving China heads ups. So, yeah, you know, it's been, Elaine Jennings is right. It's silent weapons for silent wars been happening since World War II. Indeed, but for me, you know, a lot of people can criticize America. So can I, Peter. A lot of things we could say America hasn't done right. But fundamentally, it's been the global hegemony for the last, 80 years or whatever. And by and large, I think it's been a force for good in the main.
Yeah.
The more China gets the grip on things, people are going to realize that not all empires are good empires. And so, you know, this flexing of the Chinese Communist Party's military muscle, it's deliberate. Everything they do is calculated. It's contrived. It's sending all kinds of messages. And, you know, I think some people in America will have picked them up. But it saddens me. It's sad that, you know, that the Chinese can be as bold and arrogant and aggressive in this. And what's going to be the response?
We'll see. It's like you scratch my back and I'll fire a hypersonic missile at you. It's like, where did that come from?
Yes. This is not mutually assured destruction. This is mutually assured levity, because the Chinese must be laughing. And that should bring us to the kind of laughable, risible fact that at the same time as China was testing hypersonic missiles around the globe, yes, Dr. Rachel Levine was sworn in as the U.S.'s first openly transgender four-star officer. Now, what message does that send, Peter, on Hearts of Oaks viewers? If you were sitting in Beijing or Shanghai or wherever they are, what would you think when you saw this? Come on, what would you think? And it's been... So go ahead,
Peter. I think China are probably getting the white flag ready.
Oh, yeah. Because they know this is simply not serious. I mean, this person, we need to be careful in the gender, the pronouns here, by the way. So I'll be very particular, given that we're on YouTube. This person, I mean, look at what their track record was. I mean, they didn't exactly get their four stars on the front line going over the top, did they? In fact, if you look at what they were responsible for in their state during the COVID lockdown and what happened in the losses of lives in the care homes in their state, I would suggest this individual should be in prison, not a four-star admiral. But there you go. This is clown world. Like, you know, this is really absolutely, totally clown world. I actually put up another video clip somewhere. I can't remember where I put it this week. And it was, again, U.S. soldiers on parade. And they had their masks on and whatnot. And there was a strong, empowered black woman officer leading them through the march. And it was pathetic. America under Biden is rapidly becoming a joke, but not necessarily a funny joke, because it consequences. China obviously doesn't take America as seriously as it did during Trump years. They know Trump would have responded. They know Biden won't respond. And we can all speculate why that might be. But when you see this kind of, you know, stuff, Peter, I mean, what was your response to it when you saw it?
Well, I think this picture that you put up, David, probably describes it. That China suddenly blew everything out of the water by producing something that people have talked about for years. And I think sometimes the West obviously talk about stuff. China obviously just gets its head down. It just does it. Doesn't talk about it. The first thing you know is actually when it comes past your house and, oh, that's been developed. Oh, game over. It is that kind of a game of chess, and China have gone straight to that check, and suddenly it's not really panic in America, because again Biden doesn't know what's happening. That's the scariest thing. If you have this happen, then if you're someone in the White House who's competent and able to respond effectively, then okay, you've got a fight on your hands. Biden doesn't know where he is, never mind what a hypersonic rocket is.
Well, yeah, of course, Biden doesn't know where he is. But those people behind him, the power brokers, the people in the shadows who have completely manipulated this regime from when it came into being, they do know, Peter. They do know. So that's what makes it worse. They know and they don't care. They do not care. So they're quite happy to see the United States of America humiliated by the Chinese Communist Party. And that's what this ultimately is. And then all the geopolitical global consequences of that, because lots of other countries are going to take the conclusion, well, we don't have to worry too much about what the guy in the White House thinks, or even if he is ultimately pushed out and Kamala comes in, we don't need to worry about what they think, because they're not serious. They're frivolous. Yeah. It's frivolity. A 4-star trans general in that little cartoon does not equate to a hypersonic missile. Hypersonic missiles are serious escalation in terms of military capability. And rightly said, Peter, what that could do, or what a pile of those could do. And of course, at the same time, China's talking very big over Taiwan. We see all the overt aggress. And then what does Biden comes out and Biden accidentally says, we will defend Taiwan. And then what, 12 hours later, someone says, no, Joe didn't mean that. So, yeah, but again, it's the United States. It is a serious country. It has been a serious military and all of that. It's being hollowed out so quickly. And you know, like I have other views on this, such as, for example, the Democrats have got in and they're doing the thing that they want to do. They want to hollow out America. Republicans, when they get in, are too meek and mild and cowardly, with an exception of Trump, obviously. But the too many of them in the GOP are pathetic milksops. You mentioned Liz Cheney. She's a particularly egregious example. But yeah, so America is fundamentally becoming unserious. And honestly, that's not good. We can laugh at it and cartoons and stuff are good. But it is, as somebody says in the stream, you're on your own, Taiwan. Now, of course, there is a question whether or not we should encourage American activities outside the United States. Some of the junkets into Iraq and, you know, other Afghanistan, I didn't approve of. But by the same token, the United States has to be seen to be a serious player. And four-star trans generals ain't going to cut it.
I was catching up with a friend today, Terry Giles, who we've had on before, gotten over the last number of years, and we were discussing this, and I was saying, what on earth are the Democrats doing? And they're destroying. You look at New York, you look at California, you look at the drugs issue, the crime issue, the police not being anywhere, and then you look at actually people flocking to states like Florida, like Texas. I think, what is it? Why? I can understand the Democrats being liberal, socially liberal. I can understand them being tax and spend. I can understand, but when you want to destroy your own country and then the borders on top of that, why do the Democrats hate their country so much? And it's a question that no one seems to be able to answer or understand.
Well, surely it's because the Democratic Party that you've just described, you know, which was kind of equivalent to the British Labour Party, you know, tax and spend and all of that. Yeah. But I believe since the Obama, I would go back to 2008, certainly from Obama came in, some things have changed and there is this self-loathing, self-hatred, and a desire to basically, yes, to destroy their own. They're going to suicide their own country. And they're doing it in real time in front of our eyes. Everyone on the stream sees it. We all see it. We see this, you know, the farcical nature of everything that's going on. And it's disheartening, Peter. It is disheartening because it simply further enables the Chinese Communist Party and others around the world to say, yeah, we're going to do what we want. We don't care about America. So the new darker Democrats or anti-American Democrats. And so you mentioned, you know, California and places like that, where they're again hollowing it out from within. Yep. I don't know if they, as long as they can live in their big mansions with big walls, you know, so they don't want to have a wall on the border. By the way, I have a suggestion how the border could be made, the US, the southern border could be made safer. I would put Alec Baldwin in charge of it, because I don't think Alec's the kind of guy. If he sees anyone coming at him, you take a risk. So I would offer Alec Baldwin to run the US border.
We need to clone Alec and put him along all the stations the border.
Yeah, get Dr. Fauci to get one of his interesting lab experiments and clone Baldwin, and then send all the Baldwins down to the border. Problem solved. Everything sorted out.
Right, let's go on to the COVID. We need to.
Oh, what? The COVID?
I keep calling now the COVID after. That's what Stephen Crowder calls it, the COVID.
It's got a noun. It's got a pronoun. It could be a he, she, or zer. Zer COVID, I call it. Yeah.
It might be they. So COVID, over the next year. Again, this was something you put up on your Getter feed. I probably did on your Gab feed. I just did look at Getter.
Yeah,
there are other social media platforms like Gab, like Parler, where you can get it to work, like others. So, yeah, use them all. Here, COVID over the next year. What could happen with COVID if measures are not used until spring 2022 and only elderly are offered boosters? And here we have a could hit 150,000 a day without plan B. As vaccine immunity wanes. And then it goes into more of the scare stories that unless plan B happens. So, David, as always, it's a fear that they're using, which has actually worked very effectively around the world. And so they're continuing along that vein. We haven't been good enough. We're not doing what we're told. There needs to be more fear. Deaths, hospitalizations, cases are going to rocket without plan B.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've said all along that the purpose of plan A is to get to plan B. And in fact, the other day they talked about plan C, which was an even more draconian. I think that was, you don't get to see your family at Christmas. And the purpose of plan C is plan B. It's always plan B. And plan B is what's going to happen. Unfortunately, I absolutely oppose it. But it's clear to me, as much as the nose in my face, that it's going to happen. You get the trade unions agitating for it. We've got the BMA, the doctors union, all these people, all these agitators. They all want it. And the numbers that these numbers that they produce, 150,000 a day, is so laughable. But then I guess I'm not sure if Imperial College was the source of that. But we know that the numbers and the modelling and none of it works, Peter. None of it is ever consistent with what we find. So, I think the fear is everything. And in actual fact, Peter, there's a thing I did. I put a podcast up about this. I've been regularly taking issue, let's say, with Julia Hartley Brewer over on Talk Radio, or Vaccine Radio, as I prefer to call it. And over in Vaccine Radio, Julia had a guy on two mornings ago, and he said, this is a salient point, he was some BMA or former BMA or some such talking head. And he said that they were talking about why the boosters haven't been taken up with the alacrity that they thought. And his words were 7:05 Thursday morning. He said, yes, Julia, it's because the fear hasn't been great enough in the communications. He said it. And of course, she did not argue back, which is what I took her to task with. In fact, she quite likes the old jabs. Yep. But fear. So your point is 100% valid. None of this could happen without fear. They need fear. So therefore, keep your masks on. Fear. Continually having to take additional injections. Fear. Lockdown. Threat of lockdowns. Not getting to see your family. Fear, 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 fear. And you're right. Yep. Fear sells. I wish it didn't. I mean, I wish the British people had more backbone. But as Truth Junkie says, there are hashtag purebloods out there. And the more of them, the better, because fear doesn't cut across all of us. But it's magnified by, I mean, the other perennial topic for me, Peter, is the media, the mainstream media, not us guys doing art, but the mainstream media have absolutely, their fingerprints are all over the fear porn. You know, you just have to, I never watch like morning TV, never watch that. But I do see clips. And it's very instructive to see some of the things that some of the people going on to those morning programs, which get a capture, you know, decent audience, of the things that they're saying, I mean, for example, someone speculating in Jeremy Vine two mornings ago, should we have a lockdown for the unvaxxed? Interesting. Yeah. Should we do that? Maybe we shouldn't allow them into supermarkets so they get to starve. I mean, this is the awful, awful mindset. It's fear and it's tyranny in equal measure. And that's why I'm so vocal about it, I suppose, because I see it as an existential threat to us all.
On plan B, this is obviously whenever the government say we're not going to do something, it means it's around the corner. Okay. So don't panic about fuel. Don't go panic buying. Well, you better panic buy because there isn't enough. Yeah. Whatever the government tell you to do, they're just prepping you for what's coming. And this was interesting one. Looking, COVID plan B, councils break from government to bring back masks and home working. It is time now we take additional steps to prevent a winter crisis. This is from the Independent. And there's a little picture of COVID test sites. So it looks like it says residents in Liverpool, Windsor and Suffolk. I saw Suffolk are amongst those told by local health teams to follow stricter measures and over concerns over COVID rates. And I know in Suffolk, I think schools are all back to masking up. And I'm sure. So I guess I wonder where the government have even had a conversation with councils and say, look, if you begin to rule it out gently, then we'll back you up and it'll be nationwide.
Yes, exactly. I think that's the point. This is a subtly orchestrated campaign, subtly orchestrated in all kinds of way. So at the moment, we're being asked to believe that Boris the Brave and Rishi, well, they don't want to do it at this point in time. Notice the caveat, they don't want to do it, but they will do it for the reason you said. When government rules something out, that's almost a guarantee it's going to happen. So, there's no doubt in my mind that this plan B is where it's going. But the only thing that I would say to you, Peter, is that what I find curious is, and it links back to we could have 150,000 people going into hospital a day, that kind of malarkey, nonsense. But haven't we vaccinated, 78% of the population once, or so we're told, or 85% once and 78% twice. So I'm struggling, and of course, conscious of YouTube factors here, but I'm just struggling with the fact that, so the more we vaccinate, the more cases of COVID we get. And the government's own data from September shows that 60% of those in hospital were fully jabbed. And I'm struggling with that because Boris Johnson said in an interview the other day that he said, listen, folks, because, the vaccination doesn't stop you from transmitting it. It doesn't stop you from getting it, but it stops hospitalizations and deaths. And the curious thing is, when I look at the government data, I can see that the majority of people in hospital have been doubly vaccinated. And also the majority of deaths in September were amongst the vaccinated. So there's a cognitive dissonance there, which a cynical person would say the government's lying through their teeth. But I would never say that because obviously I trust Boris.
Well, this is the weird thing that we are dealing with the population who hate politicians, who distrust politicians, and yet what Boris says, bend over and this will be good for you, and people do it.
I mean, it's the what happened to the British bulldog? What happened to the British backbone? We saw it in 2015, 2016. We had it then with obviously Brexit, and you thought, British people, yes, it's brilliant. We have this huge, all these millions of us, and we want to be sovereign, and we want, and everything seemed fine then. And now it seems to me that the whole agenda is being set by, for example, it's not coincidental that the entire political left are pretty much on board with lockdowns, restrictions, masks, triply vaxxed, 16 boosters. All they love that. I think that's because it appeals to their natural appeal to higher authority. They want to be told what to do. That's why they love the European Union. I can rationalize in my own mind how the lefties think about it. But Peter, how does that explain those on the right who go with this, and not least the Conservative Party? How can a party that stood on the UK will do what's right for the UK and we're going to put the British people first, how come they're 100% lockstep with a global agenda, which means that therefore there's no difference in the Commons between the Tories and Labour? None at all. In fact, the only ones who've shown any backbone, stunningly, is the Lib Dems, who seem a little bit uneasy about some aspects of the regulation. So it's a strange one. It's really strange, but Plan B is where we're going to be. I suspect, Peter, by the time we speak next on Hearts of Oak, hopefully, if you have me back, I believe that we may well be in the teeth of what will, if not a lockdown, be the return of restrictions, mask wearing. And we all know the science is masks don't provide any apparent benefit, he says, choosing his words carefully for YouTube. And the COVID passports, of course, is the real end game in this one. And it is the end game. Once they come in, we're out.
Well, let's bring this up first. This is an interesting take, again, from your Getter feed. Here is a tweet from Patriotic Party Grizz. Seems a sensible guy. And he says, "You want me to take the damn vaccine? Mail it to me, and I'll vaccinate myself and mail back the paperwork stating I'm fully vaccinated. You trust me, right? Just like mail-in voting." Very interesting point.
Yeah, and absolutely on point as well. I mean, I think that's... someone says, "Vance shouts too much. Tell him." My apologies.
Look, you get David moderated because he's on YouTube, so he's good.
So, look, the point about this is, I mean, it is two birds, one stone, isn't it? We know, again, we have to be careful about this, what we say on YouTube, but we know that there are big issues around mail-in voting. So we know that. That we know. So he's making that point. But the other thing is about, you know, you want to take the vaccine. Of course, the British government has actually figured this one out, because now they're saying for the lateral flow test here in the UK, do you see this? They've changed that. Now that you have to show a photograph of the... I wonder why that might be. I suspect, Peter, and I have to condemn those involved, there may be individuals who got lateral flow tests, didn't even bother using them, just scanned the code in, winged it off, and got and said it was negative, got a thing back saying, "Yes, you're negative." There may have been bad people that have done that, but I'm glad the government are onto them. And, you know, taking a photograph, that's going to be super duper guaranteed not in any way to be fraudulent. So yeah, the guy's right in his tweet. The whole thing from top to bottom is riddled with just dissonance. Nothing makes sense, and it's supposed to not make sense. It's supposed to keep us off our guard. We're supposed to all go, "Well, hang on a second. How come this, if that?" That's why they do it. It's continually moving the things along. You know, you're not allowed to think about, why would you need to have a booster if the other two shots work? Just common sense thoughts like that. And this is how they do it. They continually keep us discombobulated, which is quite a good word to say on a Saturday night without having had any wine. So anyway.
You haven't had a drink yet. But
I've had an orange juice.
Can I just let our viewers know what it is? Because I experienced this for the first time. I went to a music concert, very exciting. We were allowed out. So a concert that was booked for a year and a half ago. We went along as a family, and we had to, first of all, have our NHS COVID app. I don't have one of those. So I had to physically go to the venue the day before and say, "Excuse me, I don't have one." Can I just print off? And they go, "Oh yeah, just print it off." Of course, it doesn't say that on their website. It says, "If you do not have the NHS app, you will be denied entry." So obviously that's nonsense. So how you do a test? I'd never done this before. You get a lateral flow test. You obviously stick it up all your orifices, as of course you do, which I of course did. And then you get, oh, it's negative. So you go to the NHS app and you say, my result was negative. And they email you. And they email you to say, your result was negative.
Yep.
And it's just unbelievable. It just repeats. Whatever you put in comes back out. So you could be positive 10 times over. All your tests, 100 of the tests could be positive. You might shockingly never have taken the test. And you it's negative. And they say, it's negative. How? I was speechless.
I mean, I have a friend who is a senior teacher in a very large grammar school. Mm. And teachers were required to take two of these a week. These lateral flow tests, and she couldn't understand the logic that says, yeah, but if I just send it off to them and say, yeah, I've tested myself, I've done all the bits, and actually in her case, and she started off by doing it all, and then she said, this is stupid, this is really stupid. But having said that, I mean, presumably follow the money, somebody made a lot of money, somebody still is making loads of money out of those lovely lateral flow tests, which come from China.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know. So just like the virus.
You get everything made in China.
Yep.
Let's do one story on, and then we'll touch on another two. We'll just do a quick fire on the other two. There are a number of stories, and I like to bring this up each time, different story on vaccines and restrictions and your vaccine passport, which will give you freedom. Here we have in Breitbart, Biden says, and we'll not play the video because you've all heard Biden and you'll listen to it and you'll not make sense of it anyway. So he says police emergency responders should be fired if they won't get vaccinated. Now, these are men and women who serve the country, emergency responders who are there. You think of 9/11, that's what you think. That's the first time I heard the term emergency responders. They are there putting themselves on harm's way to fight for people's life. And here Biden says, just fire them. If they haven't got the vaccine, fire them. This seems to be Biden's way. It seems to be Australia's way. It seems to be Canada's way. And the worry is, obviously, it will be the European way very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we see happening in those countries are basically, prototypes of what we could easily see happen here and probably what we will see happen here. But to consider, I mean, we talk about, Biden's talking about firing emergency responders, such as police and other such types. But don't forget, Sajid Javid is going to fire care home workers on the 22nd of November if they haven't had their double jab. And I understand, again, in the next couple of weeks, a similar announcement may be made with regard to NHS frontline staff. So if you're working in the NHS and you haven't been double jabbed, then, you could lose your job. So this is strange because you would have thought in this deadly Spanish flu pandemic alleged that we have, you would have needed all the emergency workers you needed. Yeah. But apparently not. Apparently you can sack them. Apparently there's what? I've seen a figure, 40,000 care home workers in the UK could be gone in, 3 weeks or 3 or 4 weeks? So, Biden's out of his mind, or maybe he doesn't have a mind, I'm never sure. But this is a strategy going around the world. Peter, you mentioned Australia. Look at what's happening in Italy. Italy, again. It is, to my mind, proto-fascism under the guise of COVID, but it's global. And we've never seen it come in globally before. And that's what makes us ask some very fundamental questions about the forces that are behind this.
Speak up now or forever hold your peace as you're out of a job. Last two, we'll do 3 minutes on each. This is about positive discrimination, which we know all too well in Northern Ireland. Here we have, but it wasn't your colour being positive discriminated. It was your religious belief or your political ideology, I guess, more. Here we have black police officers to be fast-tracked into senior roles. Home Secretary pledges, this is Priti Patel, Home Secretary. just in case you thought this was a Labour far left. No, this is the great hope of the Tory party. Anyway, she pledges to beat stubbornly slow recruitment of ethnic minority officers with new drive to boost promotion to higher ranks. So screw your ability, you're in on colour.
Yeah, and that's, there's a name for that, racism.
Yeah.
That's racism. If you are selecting people on the basis of their skin colour rather than their ability, that is racism. And Priti Patel has proven to be a massive disappointment, Peter. Unbelievably, well, I mean, so was Boris, but I mean, she was the one who sort of postured her Thatcherite credentials. And yet here you can see she's as woke as can be. She wants to get people into senior roles in the police based on their skin colour. I mean, if there is a stubbornly slow recruitment, maybe the, you know, is it, has she ever considered there might be a reason such as ability? Might it be that, quite honestly, there's a significant number of better qualified candidates who have different skin colours? And by the way, why is it only black? Why is it only black candidates? What about brown candidates? What about, you know, those with other skin complexions and colours? I don't understand that. Why is it just one? No, this is, as Marie Walker says in the stream, this is racism at its absolute worst. It's pandering, of course, to the BLM narrative and all of that. And what it's going to give us in the UK is a police system structure, an overarching structure, which is just completely inadequate. And, you know, Peter, you look at London, look at the total dysfunctionality of policing in London under what is, to my mind, a very politicised structure. But that's going to be the case around the country, I guess. It's very worrying to see the Conservatives presiding over a racist policy.
As they presided over a mass immigration policy, but that's a whole other area. I see Oak Ash Thorn makes a comment. Oak Ash Thorn, the answer to your question is yes, but again, I can't read that out on YouTube. So, I do read through all the live streams later. Obviously, we can't always bring them in. It depends what type of program we want to get through the news and pull some in. But I certainly go through them after. So thank you, as always, for your comments. It helps us to know what you think as a viewer. It helps us know how you're engaging, helps know what you find of interest. And if you're on YouTube, it helps screw the algorithms up on YouTube. So that also helps. So story. Here is US surgeons test pig kidney transplant in a human. So we scroll down, and US surgeons say they have successfully given a pig's kidney to a person in a transplant breakthrough they hope could ultimately solve donor organ shortages. Dave, I sometimes think that we are in danger of society of doing things just because we can and not thinking, actually, is that necessarily the right way to do it?
Well, yeah, but if you, Peter, read the next sentence, read the sentence below the one you just read out, because that's a killer. Read that one.
Oh, the recipient was brain dead, meaning they were already on artificial life support with no prospect of recovering. So this is just experiment.
Yeah, listen, this is Frank. To my mind, this is Frankenscience. I think that's what I used. You know, as you say, just because you can do something does not mean that you should do something. And this this one here, I thought to myself, well, obviously they're testing it on someone who has no hope of revival, someone who's allegedly brain dead. But I don't know. I mean, maybe I don't know how other people feel about this. I felt queasy when I saw this this headline, Peter. I just thought to myself, what are they doing? They're putting bits of animals into human beings, I can't see how that's going to work out well at all. So it is this increasing tendency. This is where technology is a double-edged sword, Peter. Because we have the tech to be able to do a particular thing, does that mean we should do the particular thing? And I don't. In this case, I just cannot agree with this. What do you think?
David said the kidney came from a pig that had been genetically modified to stop the organ being recognized by the body as a foreign and being rejected, obviously because that's how the world is made and that's how these things should work. So you screw that up. And then it says the work is not yet peer-reviewed or published, but there are plans for this. So they're testing out this on someone who can't recover, who has no input, no say, and So it is an experiment. It's not so this person can recover.
Yeah.
And it's not even peer-reviewed. So those in the medical and the scientific level have not even agreed to this, not even said this is good.
Yeah, and as you said, with a genetically modified pig heart. Well, with the pig, obviously the heart was modified. So from start to finish, it's just, I just think it's completely wrong. I call it Frankenscience, and I think it is. And it's so disturbing that these things can happen, you know. So, and the more technology we have, the greater the temptation to do that. As somebody says in the stream, where are the ethics oversight? As you said, Peter, also, where, you know, it's not peer reviewed. It's just they can do it. So, yeah, let's do it. Let's stick bits of animals into people, genetically modified animals, and that'll all work out fine. Because presumably the end game has to be to put these things into human beings who have a good chance of, who would otherwise have a chance of recovery. So is this what somebody said? I see some good comments there.
Yeah, I see so as well.
Yeah, we're going to keep it YouTube friendly, but yeah, it is a pity actually. So I find this in my streams as well, Peter. The best thing is the comments that come in from listeners and viewers.
Yeah.
They are brilliant because they're so pithy and to the point. But so Frankenscience to me, absolutely disgusting and degenerate, and in a civilized world would never happen.
I think we will bring it to an end there. Let me just have a quick look. Was there one thing that I wanted to bring up but not discuss? No, there wasn't. there's one. Let me show this. This is our final recommendation from Alec Baldwin. And here it is. And there it is.
Yeah.
Sponsored by the CDC.
Yeah, Dr. Fauci approved that, the making of that advertisement. Let's hope Dr. Fauci never accidentally walks in front of Alec Baldwin. That might be awful.
That would be, and now Fauci's so more famous after his successful film.
The Rotten Tomatoes reviews. Did you see? I'm sure you saw all that. They had it went down so badly. It was brilliant. It went down faster than the Titanic. Absolutely. Yeah.
I saw it. Let me play this little clip. This is, what was the clip? Australia. Let me just play this little clip for you before we finish.
I'm back on the live there, guys, just to show you that attempted arrest. It's interesting because there's a whole picnic happening here where the police haven't interfered with. People dining, people eating without masks on, mingling with each other.
All right, guys, thanks for being here today. We're going to get some of us, the top of us, to move up and be a little bit more dispersed as we did there.
This is what we will come to, having picnics probably in the rain outside because we're not allowed inside. So unless we stand up and make our voices heard now, then that's what we'll end up in.
We've seen it in France as well, haven't we? We've seen this phenomenon now in different countries around the world, where whenever the pure bloods are told they can't go in places, they're actually doing that, having picnics in the street. My only issue with that, I'm 100% in favour of that, but the weather, in Northern Irish weather, is not that brilliant, especially in a night like tonight. So I don't know that it's going to be massively popular, but, you know, to hell with it. We're not going to be blackmailed into doing things that we don't want to do. End off.
Exactly. On that note, I think we'll bring it to an end. If you want to listen and you prefer listening and you don't want to see the lovely faces on the screen each day, you can listen to David as you can to Hearts of Oak on Podbean. So do, if you're into podcasts and haven't got that yet, then do go. You'll find David, you'll find Hearts of Oak on Podbean. So go and make use of that. It's great to see, certainly from our side, the increase in take up on that. And podcasting isn't something that I've really done. I like to sit and watch a video, work and have that going in the background, but many people enjoy that audio just. So you can get that on Podbean. So if that's your thing, make sure and add David. and Hearts of Oak to your favorites and follow us. So, David, you do a lot of regular, very short ones, don't you, on Podbean?
I do Britain's most industrious daily podcast, 5 short podcasts a day. 5. Get that, folks. 5 little 5-10 minutes on different topics. I actually find it's actually better. I've decided I prefer it better than video, because you can be so focused and people can listen just on topic. And it's kind of, for me, it's just free flow thought. But I love it. And I think podcasts at the moment are not censored. That may change. Yeah. So you can actually, we can talk about everything now. I'm sure, Peter, with yourself as well, without the fear of, the Silicon Valley guys coming right down on you. But I am conscious that, for example, Apple, I mean, like yourselves, I'm on Apple, I'm on Google and whatnot, and Spotify, and I'm not sure how long that's going to survive. But whilst it's there, we should use it. And we keep, we use the tools of the enemy to fight the enemy. That's how I look upon it. So, I'm enjoying the podcast. So you should I mean, a big plug here. If you enjoy podcasts, listen to me. It's just go and subscribe to my stuff, and you'll certainly get a daily dose to hopefully counter some of the clown world. But actually, Peter, if I had to counter everything, I'd be podcasting 24 hours a day and I'd go mad. So as it is, I restrict it to just 5 little podcasts, 5 to 10 minutes. That's it.
So if anyone is ever going through the day and they say, I wonder what David Vance is thinking right now, go on Podbean and you'll learn.
You will. Guaranteed. Certain.
David, on that, thank you so much for your time. Always great to have you on. Good to chat. Good to have your thoughts. Good to be able to go through your Getter feed, your Gab feed. Really interesting. Really a good source of news. So thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Pleasure. Pleasure as always, Peter.
Let me just finish off with our viewers. Again, like, subscribe, share, do all the usual stuff. And if there's whichever platform you're watching, whichever one you're on, and if you're prefer to watch on the website, you can watch on the website heartsofoak.org/livestream, or just click on the video tab on the top right and you'll get that. If you don't get our weekly emails, well, I didn't send one the last week, but usually do go and go click on that connect tab on the Hearts of Oak website. You'll get that weekly email giving you updates on what's happening. And on Monday, we have really interesting interview I did pre-record a few days ago with John Vallis. John Vallis runs a YouTube channel called Bitcoin Quickfire. And I've watched that a few times. And of course, he had Jordan Peterson contact him and ask him on to one of Jordan's shows to discuss Bitcoin. So John Vallis is one of the 4 that Jordan went to for advice. So anyone who Jordan Peterson asks to explain a topic to him must be worthwhile listening. So that's Monday. It's a pre-record. That's Monday evening. John Vallis, really interesting, looking deeper into Bitcoin, not just the financial aspect, but actually the implications for society as a whole. So tune in on Monday for John Vallis. And I think on that, I'll wish all our viewers or listeners wonderful rest of your evening. Have a good rest of your weekend and look forward to seeing you on Monday with John Vallis. So thank you very much and good night.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list. Donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.